join Brother Barry in telling and saying that we're very thankful that you're here, especially the visitors that we have, and appreciate the opportunity that I have to be able to come before you this morning and speak some of the things that, or talk to you about some of the things that I have studied. And we're going to be continuing a series that I've been doing. And if you haven't been here for all of this series, you're welcome to go back to our website and go through those things and look at the things that we have studied so far on this series. But we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at passages from the Sermon on the Mount and coming up with some things that we can do to help us in our everyday lives based on the teachings of Jesus in that sermon. We're going to continue that this morning. And the next section that we're going to deal with comes from Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about our motivations, the things that motivate us to do the things that we do, the things that we're supposed to be doing for God, the things that we're supposed to be doing to give him glory and praise and honor. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And my question for you this morning, and the thing that I want you to remember as we this question as we go through this lesson this morning is, why do you do good works? Why do you do good deeds? Why do you do acts of righteousness? What is your motivation? What is your motivation for doing these things? And today's message this morning is called Peekaboo. Peekaboo. Which seems very fitting because the lesson that we started with was called Salt and Light. And back in Matthew chapter 5, it was about seeing people being able to see your good works so that they glorify God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we see here, as we talked about in the very first lesson that I gave on this series, we're supposed to be useful in the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to be able to be seen like light, like a city of light. And if we're not useful, then we're useless. We should be tossed out and trodden over. If we're useful, then we'll be light. We'll be seen. And God will be glorified for it. However, Jesus in chapter 6 says something seems to be completely different. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men," or some translations say, "acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So basically it says, we're supposed to make our light shine before men, but we got to keep it a secret. Wait a minute. What am I supposed to do with that? How is it that I let my light shine before men so that everybody can see the works that I do, so they can glorify God, but we got to keep it a secret? See, it doesn't quite make sense. Which way is it? In Matthew chapter 5, as he addressed the influence to the world, right? We are supposed to be an influence to those that are around us. How do we do that if everything's a secret? I think what Jesus is showing here is the difference between hypocritical or self-righteous versus authentic righteousness. And while it's important for us that we do the right thing, it's equally important for us to do it the right way and for the right reason. Righteousness should be an inward matter and not an outward appearance. And God doesn't look at the outward deeds we do, but at our hearts. He begins a warning with, be careful, or take heed. Take heed. Watch out. Or as Winston put it the other day, be on guard. This is a very strong warning. And he warns us to be careful. Watch out. This is going to take constant vigilance on your part. It's going to be rough. You need to be on guard. Because there's a real danger of this, what he's warning us against. We need to be vigilant about this. So what's the real issue that we're talking about here that we've been discussing? Well, the issue is motivation, isn't it? That was my question in the beginning. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you do your acts of righteousness? What is your motivation for doing those things? That's the issue that we're talking about. And the issue is the motivation of your heart. And it all comes down to who gets the praise, who gets the glory. Do you get the praise or does God get the praise? Do you get the glory or does God get the glory? That's the real question, isn't it? If you do good works to get the praise for yourself, Jesus says you don't get a reward from your Father in heaven. That's what he says. If you're doing it so that you can be seen and you get all the glory and people see how good and great you are, then your reward from your heavenly Father is nothing. You get nothing. So we've got to put God first in all things. And Jesus then takes this principle and he applies it to three specific areas. Those three things are giving, praying, and fasting. Giving, praying, and fasting. These are the three important commandments from Jesus that we're going to be looking at this morning. So first of all, we have giving, right? Peekaboo. I think I got that in the wrong order, didn't I? Peekaboo. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 says, take heed that you do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that you may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So here he addresses the first issue that we're going to talk about, which is giving. He shows us that there's a wrong way to give, and then there's also a right way to give the wrong way. So we're going to talk about the wrong way first. So the wrong way to give is to be honored by people, isn't it? That's what he talks about here. To receive honor and glory from other people. Look at verse number 2, where Jesus in this section, he begins with the words, when you give. When you give. Which means he expects you to give. As a Christian, that's one of your duties, to give. He expects you to do that when you give. Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. The word translated hypocrite here is a word that is used to describe an actor who wore a mask, an outward facade, or someone that pretends to be something that he's not. And the Pharisees and the hypocrites were very good at this. They were actors pretending to be righteous so that people could see them doing all their righteous acts and say, hey, look at how good a people they are. They wanted to show themselves off. They wanted to show and draw attention to themselves. And when Jesus says they announce it with trumpet, Jesus points out a ridiculous scenario, doesn't he? It's like, can you imagine trumpets, a whole parade of trumpets going before you, and the trumpets sound, and somebody announces, Brother Chris Harper gives such and such amount of money, and everybody applauds, yay! That's what Jesus is talking about here, the trumpets that go before them. Look how good that guy is. He gives all that money. He gives all those things. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus says when you give, to be honored by other people, so that other people see you and look at you and give you honor and glory, you're a hypocrite. Jesus says that there should be no publicity and publicity seeking when you do those things, when you give. No drawing attention to yourself. No tooting your own horn or patting yourself on the back. And what's worse, Jesus says, when you give to be honored by men, you miss out. You miss out on God's reward. Why? Because, well, you've already received your reward in full. The phrase that we're talking about here in the original language means paid in full. In other words, you're not going to get anything else. You've been rewarded. Here's your receipt. Have a nice day. If you want people, do you want people to notice you? Is that your motivation? For doing your acts of righteousness? Or do you want people to notice God? Then you got what you, if you do what, if you want people to notice you, you've got what you wanted. So we've talked about the wrong way. How about the right way? Jesus is using an exaggeration here again. Remember the right hand and the left hand. He says, you know, if you're going to give, if you're going to do your alms, don't let your one hand know what your other hand is doing. And the idea here is that so that not even you can glorify yourself. Look how good a person I am. I do all these good things. And the idea here is that, I mean, it's kind of silly that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. But the example here is that while I'm giving with my right hand, I'm not patting myself on the back. There should be no patting yourself on the back with your left hand while you're giving with your right. But when you give in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, there's no secrets when it comes to God. He sees everything. He sees everything. God is all-knowing and all-present. And he will see all your good deeds, even if nobody else does. Even if nobody else notices. And this should be our real motivation in giving, so that we please God and God alone. One of the things that I thought about was, why is it that God promises us heavenly rewards instead of earthly rewards in our motivation to please him and our motivation to do things to please him? Well, I see a couple of reasons. And the first one I want to talk about is our heavenly rewards versus our eternal destruction or our eternal damnation. God is a just God, and he rewards those people who do good things. He punishes those people who do evil things. And we should realize that when we do things to please God and we don't take our reward here and for ourselves, then our reward is in heaven, which is our heavenly reward. But when we take our reward here in the now and we say, you know what, that's what I want, then we have our reward and there is no reward coming. You're paid in full. Here's your receipt. Guess what? In eternity, we will have eternal damnation, eternal destruction. You see, God is a just God, and he wants to give us that eternal home with him in heaven. He wants to give us that. He doesn't want us to have eternal damnation or eternal destruction. And secondly, every time you choose God's reward instead of man's reward, you're acting in faith, and that's what we're supposed to live by, isn't it? Live by faith in order to please God. You are choosing the unseen reward that is to come by faith rather than the visible reward, which is the right and here and now. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for later, not the evidence of things seen today. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to have faith in the substance of things in eternity instead of the substance of things right now. In trying to obey this commandment, people sometimes wonder, is it okay to write a check to put in the plate? I mean, people are going to know how much I give. Somebody's going to know how much I give if I put it in the plate. I just give cash, and then it's all anonymous. Nobody worries about it. And the answer is this. It all depends on your motivation, right? Have you really thought about it? Have you really thought about why it would be that you put write a check or whether you give cash or whatever, however method it is? Maybe, I don't know, maybe some places do automatic bank draft or whatever it is that they do. You know, some people, a lot of people, they track their giving in order to deduct from their income tax. You know what? I think that's a good motivation. I think that the motivation for that is great because why? You're being a good steward. You're able to take those savings and you can take those savings that you would have paid in the taxes and deduct those from your taxes and use that money for doing something good. That's good motivation. Writing a check helps you track that, right? That's good motivation. Using bank draft, that's good motivation. Now, if you like to put cash in the plate, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me. That's great. But the motivation, I want you to understand, is the important factor here. The important thing is not that someone knows how much you give or that other people see you do it. It is that you make sure that you're giving for the right reasons, not to receive honor for yourself, but to receive, but that God receives the honor and the glory and the praise. Next, praying. The second area that Jesus discusses in this section is prayer. And once again, there is a wrong way and there's a right way that we should pray. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest thy door, pray to thy heavenly Father which is in secret, and thy heavenly Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So there's a wrong way, and a right way, and a wrong way to pray. And we're going to look at the wrong way first. Similar to giving, the wrong way is to pray to be seen of other people. Look at verse number 5. When thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners, street corners, so that they can be seen. One thing that I noticed here is, it's interesting, is the hypocrites love to pray. They love to pray. And loving to pray is not wrong, is it? I love to pray. You love to pray? Praying's great. But the hypocrites love to pray. When you pray, again, it begins with when thou prayest, or when you pray. It's the same language as giving, right? Jesus says, when you give, which means he expects you're going to pray. He expects you to pray. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't pray. There's no such thing as a Christian that does not pray. But Jesus says that the hypocrites love to pray. They sound... And that sounds good, really does at first, but what is their motivation for loving to pray? To be seen of men, isn't it? They don't love to pray because they love God. They don't love to pray because they want people to see them doing good stuff and praise God for it. They want to be seen of men. They want to get the glory. They want to be the one that receives the honor. To be seen of men. Jesus imagines a person standing upright in a synagogue or out in a street corner drawing attention to himself. Look at me. Hey, everybody, I'm going to pray, okay? He imagines that going on. And I'm sure there was a lot of people who did that back at that time. And I really don't see a lot of that today. I really don't see a lot of people standing out on the street corner. And I'm not, we're not going out to the busiest street in Lubbock, Texas and finding the most traffic that we can find anywhere and standing out on the corner and saying, well, okay, I'm going to pray now. But there's other ways that we pray, that we do so that other people see us. If we like the attention of others, we're praying out loud before others, if we like the attention, that could be a dangerous thing. That could be a dangerous situation. If we pray more in public than we do in private, do you pray for your meals when you're at the restaurant, but you don't at the house? That could be a sign. You pray more when you're at church services and at restaurants and other places where there's people watching you, and you don't pray in private? You don't go into your closet in secret and pray and have that relationship with God alone? That could be a sign that you're doing those things to be seen and not to glorify God. What about posting a prayer on social media? Maybe. So so that all your friends and everybody on Facebook can see how good a person you are by posting these prayers for everybody? That could be. Could be. The second thing that he mentions here, the wrong way to pray, is meaningless repetition. They think they're going to be heard because they do a lot of talking. Look at verse number 7. Here, Jesus moves from the Pharisees to the pagans and from the wrong motivation of prayer to wrong motivation for prayer to the wrong manner in which they pray. Much speaking. The pagans babble on in prayer because they think their many words is going to make it more likely that their gods are going to hear them. And in the same way, they think, you know, if I cry louder and I do it more often, and then I do it, you know, that's what's going to happen. My gods will hear me that way. Remember the story of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26, where they continued to name, where they began to dance around the altar, and they cried out to Baal from morning to noon, but no one answered. They went on and on and on and on, didn't they? But nobody answered them. And at times the pagans would run through a rapid fire of all of the gods that they might have. Remember in the New Testament, when Paul, they had altars to all of these different gods, and even one that was an unknown god. And when they would pray, they would say, "Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to pray to this god, this god, this god, this god, this god, this god. And hey, we even got one that I'm going to pray for just in case I missed one." In hopes that they might pick up, or some god might pick up on their request. But Jesus says that's the wrong way to pray. We shouldn't do that, even praying to God. Meaningless repetition. Now, some people say that these passages mean that we should never pray about something more than once, and I don't think that's exactly accurate. But it's not wrong to repeat your request to the Lord. Jesus prayed in the same manner 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? Let this cup pass from me. I think the motivation in which we pray is the problem, isn't it? What's wrong here is a meaningless repetition, either saying the same thing over and over and over again because you don't think God hears you, which means you don't trust in the promises of God. Or even worse, you're trying to manipulate God somehow into thinking your way. That something? Maybe if I, you know, maybe I'll persuade him. Maybe I'll persuade God to change his mind. We know that's not going to work. It is ironic that Jesus' command not to engage in meaningless repetition is in the same chapter, as we all know, as the Lord's Prayer, or as others might call the Lord's teaching on prayer. It's a wonderful model for prayer. It's very meaningful when prayed thoughtfully. But there's a real danger that we might recite this prayer habitually without consideration of anything that we're saying. There's a danger there. If we just go through the motions and we say the same things over and over and over again, where we don't even think about what we're saying. We don't have to think about it. I say the same prayer every time, over and over and over and over again. I don't even have to think about it. I got it memorized. It's like muscle memory. There's a real danger in that, isn't there? Well, so what is the right way? First of all, Jesus says that we should pray in secret. Look at verse 6. The room Jesus spoke about in this verse is a storage room or closet in the house. Typically, this is probably the only room that would have had a door. Everything else had just been an opening. Maybe the front door of the house. But everything else just had an opening. And this one storage place would have a door. Now, praying in a private place with a door closed is great for privacy, and it cuts down on distractions, but Jesus has a different reason here in mind. He wants us to remove any temptation of praying in order to be seen of others, so that we have the right motivation for prayer. If our motivation for prayer is to be seen, we're not going to go in that closet. You see? He says, so when you pray, go in the closet. Go in the closet. Make your motivation, make your heart right. Go in the closet where it's with you and God, and your motivation is right. And once again, I want to say that this does not mean that it's wrong to pray in public. Jesus does not say that it is wrong to be seen praying. Rather, it is wrong praying in order to be seen. That's the problem. So when we go to a restaurant and we pray before our meals, if our motivation is, I want people to see me pray, it's better off just not do it. If my motivation is, I want to praise God and give Him thanks and I want to give Him the glory, and it's all God and Jesus and thankfulness and gratefulness for the blessings that He has given me so that people can see what God has done for me, yeah, that's the right motivation. And it doesn't matter if people see me doing this act of righteousness, praying, or not, if I have the right motivation. How much time do you spend with God in private prayer? Jesus prayed in public, didn't He? He did. But He prayed a lot in private also. Once again, there are no secrets with God. He sees the prayer that no one else can see, and He can reward you because He has, because He is good and because He is just. Next, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you, will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the right way to pray first. So what is the right way that we should pray? First of all, we pray in secret, right? That's what it says. Secondly, you should pray using simple, direct petitions. And this is the opposite of what the pagans did, isn't it? This model prayer that Jesus gives us is completely opposite of babbling on and on and on, isn't it? It's not vain repetition. It's a model prayer of very simply having a conversation with our God. Very simple which is very opposed to what the pagans did, who kept on babbling on because they thought that their many words would make their gods hear them. Look at verse number 9. God is not some distant, distracted God that you need to talk his ear off to get his attention. We don't need to do that. You ever been approached by somebody and they say, oh, look at you, and you're such a nice, good-looking guy, and you've got all your stuff together, and you know, what they're doing is they're giving you all this flattery, and they're buttering you up. Why? Because they want something. That's why they want something. You think we could do that with God? Nah, don't think so. God don't need no buttering up. God don't need no buttering up. God is not reluctant to hear and answer our prayers. He is our Heavenly Father. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, though, says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that something? God knows what I need before I even ask him. And I hear him while they're talking. I hear him while they're speaking. Why do I need to repeat myself over and over and over and over? He heard me. He heard me the first time. This is the beauty of prayer, isn't it? God knows exactly what we need before he asks, and he's listening to me real time. And he wants to have that relationship with us. He wants us to do those things and have that relationship with us and have the right motivation in prayer. And then Jesus goes on and gives us some more instructions in prayer, but we're not going to cover that today. We'll cover that next time. And I'm going to try to, next time, just as a precursor, I'm going to give you a way that to make this Lord's Prayer very meaningful in your life. Very meaningful in your life, so that you'll remember a lot of things that are in the Sermon on the Mount based on the teaching and the model that we are given by the Lord. So we're going to move on to fasting. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 16, says, moreover, when ye fast. Again, what does that mean? He expects you to fast. Just like giving. What? When you give, he expects you to give. When you pray, he expects you to pray. When ye fast, he expects you to fast. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So Jesus says here, he says there was a problem with people that, you know, hey, look at me, I'm fasting, I'm doing all this, you know, and I'm giving up these things for a certain amount of time. Look at me, look how good I am. But Jesus says there's a right way and there's a wrong way that we should fast. Look at verse 16. Once again, he says, when you fast, remember, he expects us to fast, just like giving and praying. We're not all as familiar with fasting as we are with giving and praying, are we? But it's something that he expects us to do. There are several reasons that I found in the Bible that are biblical reasons that people would pray. Biblical reasons include times where there was a great confession of sin. So they have done something and it grieved them, and they're convicted and they wanted to confess their sin, and they would fast. Special pleading with God for some circumstance that they might have been in. A moment of crisis. Important decisions that needed to be made. There was fasting done for those things. And there was many other things. I'm sure there's many other things that they fasted for that you can find in scriptures, but these are a few that I saw. And these are all appropriate reasons that I think that you could look to as biblically accurate for fasting. Regular fasting can be helpful for your spiritual life. But guess what? There are other benefits that can be had from fasting as well. I've fasted myself for weight loss. How about that? If that's your motivation, then you have your reward. Isn't that interesting? I've fasted for health reasons. If that's your motivation, you have your reward. Here's your receipt. Thank you very much. What is your motivation for fasting? Jesus expects us to do it the right way, not like the hypocrites who put on this face and they say, oh, you know, here I am, I'm fasting, I've given up this whatever it is for so many days or so many hours or whatever it is. You know, there's a reason that they call the first meal of the day breakfast. Because we fast every night. We give up eating all night long and then we break our fast in the morning. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who make a big show of it, right? Make a big show of it, that, hey, I'm fasting, I haven't eaten for 5 days, or whatever it is, you know, I don't know. I think I've done 3 once, but I'm not recommending that at all. But you can give up things such as, soda pop, or whatever it is that you're going to give up for a certain amount of time. But you don't make a big spectacle of it and let everybody know what you're doing and how good a person you are. You know, they put, I can just imagine somebody, you know, frowning and drooping, you know. Are you all right? Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, I'm fasting. And they go, oh, I see. What a righteous guy he is. And God says, yeah, not painful. You got your reward. The whole purpose of fasting in the first place is to humble yourself before God so that he sees that you're trying to humble yourself before him, so that you know you're nothing, so that you know that you get your strength from him, that without him you are nothing. And he provides all of the provisions of life that you need. And he's going to take care of you. So it's completely wrong to fast from a wrong motivation of pride, isn't it? Look at me. Look what I've done. So the right way to fast then is in secret, right? It's in secret. Look at verses 17 through 18. But when you fast, put on oil on your head, wash your face. Don't be so obvious about it, so that only your Father who is in heaven sees you. As he sees what's done in secret, then will reward you for it. So Jesus basically says, when you fast, look normal, keep it between you and God. Don't put on a show for others so that some people can know that you're, so that some people, you know, everybody knows. Now, it's going to be hard to hide it from some people, isn't it? I mean, you're going to go to lunch with your coworkers, right? You're going to go to work with them. Maybe you go to lunch with them or you're on a business trip or whatever it might be, and everybody's ordering food and you're like, I'm going to pass. And maybe the next meal he comes up and they say, oh, no, I'm going to pass. And somebody looks at you and says, look, are you okay? You hadn't eaten all week. Well, I'm okay. So that there's going to be times when people notice that you cannot avoid. What about your family members, your close friends? When you go home for supper and your wife says, hey, are you ready for supper? And you're like, I'll pass this evening. You're going to notice, right? I mean, you can't avoid it. But the motivation is the problem, right? The motivation is the problem. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this so that I can have a deeper, more rewarding relationship with my God and my Lord Jesus Christ? Or I just want people to see how good I am. So in conclusion, this morning, are you an obvious Christian, one that's just out there and you let everybody know what you're doing and you're very obvious about everything, or are you a secret Christian? Or are we playing peekaboo? You know, peekaboo is the game where kids, little babies, you put your hand on peekaboo. Right? It's like, now you see me, now you don't, now you see me. Are we okay with being seen while doing acts of righteousness when we have the right motivation? Shouldn't be. You shouldn't be worried about that at all. Why? Because we're supposed to let our light shine before men. But if we're doing it so that we can be seen, that's a problem. Because that's a pride issue. And we want people to know how good and righteous we are. That's a problem. And we need not be that way. We need to have the right motivation in giving and praying and fasting and whatever work that you do. And there's nothing wrong with being seen while doing these things. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Why? Because they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the motivation. That's correct motivation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. That's the improper motivation. I hope that the lesson that we have, the lesson has been a help to you and a motivation to you to do the right thing and be a help to those that are around you and seeing, there's another slide, seeing the things we're supposed to be doing out of the right motivation. And hopefully it helps you to realize that, you know, we need to be seen doing things for the kingdom of God. We need to be seen by doing those things that give honor and glory to God, but we don't need to be taking the credit for it and receiving reward here on this earth. Pray that the things that we've studied this morning have been a benefit to you. If there's a need that you have, if you'd like the prayers of the church, you'd like to become a child of God, we'd ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.